It's time for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash and an anonymous contributor. Welcome, Dr. Lou. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good to see you again. You haven't melted in all the heat.
Not yet.
Okay, now here's a point of order. You took a little bit of time to make that announcement. Does that mean I get 30 seconds or a minute more?
Sure. You always take more than yet.
Folks, this is a new Laurie or something, I'll tell you. All right, well, first of all, welcome to Commander D. Cox. Good to see you back here behind the golden microphone, as they say.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. And I do think that, you know, there has been, as always, a lot of things going on. And so,
including our cell phones, which we need to put on silent.
Yes, I'm trying to put it on silent, but at any rate. So last week we had phone calls. That was terrible. Oh, good thing you weren't here. You would have gone nuts. All right, so here's what we want to do today. There's a lot of stuff that's happening, as always. But I do want to start with the Trump indictment in Georgia. Lots of issues pertaining to it. This is the fourth indictment. Supposedly, there's going to be an indictment coming out of Arizona, too. We'll see how this goes. I mean, you know, it's amazing. I mean, Georgia had so many problems with its election, and Arizona was even worse. And yet, they're going to indict Trump for challenging the results. Well, we'll see how this goes. I do think that after we talk about that, I want to try to frame what's going on with these indictments with a bigger picture exposition of what the Democrats are doing in terms of turning this into a uniparty state, okay? And they're doing it on several different fronts, education for one, lawfare, politicization, criminality of free speech, things like that. So we want to talk about that. And again, you know, we've made these points before, but it just seems that it's all coming to the point where there's no reasonable explanation other than, and it's not conspiracy theory, because it's happening before your very eyes. So we want to dig into that. Also need to take some time to look carefully at the GOP debate. Now, why do we want to look at the GOP debate? Well, because if these folks are the ones who are going to, one way or another, replace Trump, then we need to understand where they're coming from a substantive position on issues. Unfortunately, the way the debate was set up, it left you really wondering why the hell they even bothered to have the debate. It's a typical trying to make a theater statement, make it all popular for the ratings, and it failed at that, in my view. But nevertheless, I want to talk a little bit about what happened there so that we can put that into perspective. I do think that what happened with the death of the Wagner head, Prigozhin, if I get that name right one of these times, the impact that has on what's going on in Ukraine, and I'd like Deke to talk a little bit more about Ukraine, China, that relationship that Russia has developed with the Chinese, and how it fits into the geostrategic issues that we have with China as we're trying to help the Ukrainians. Then I want to switch to a couple of state issues, okay? Actually, not so much state issues, but state events that took place that make it sensible for us to look carefully at what's going on in the state after the last special session and the forthcoming session that starts, I think, February 6th. The Alabama Conservative Coalition met last Saturday, and I want to just talk about some of the issues that came up there, are key issues that we will try to press forward in the forthcoming legislative session. And then Common Sense Campaign Board had a meeting with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth this past Tuesday, and I think it was instructive to hear some of the things that he said. in a smaller conversation. He had just met with the South Baldwin women, Full House that day. But in our little meeting room there with him, we had a conversation with him. And I think it's important to establish those kinds of conversational, you know, modes so that you get a feel for what the individual is really talking about, what he believes, rather than just the standard speech that you get when you address, you know, 100 people or so. So that's where we are this morning. So let's start with Trump and Georgia. Deke, as you look at this indictment, what is your sense of the efficacy of the indictment, number one, and number two, the legitimacy of it? What's your sense of that?
Well, it's completely illegitimate. It's it's the fourth in a series. It's very clear that all four are grounded in, you know, political opportunism, right? And mm-hmm. and the fact that they realize just how popular he is. They always have,
right?
And they are absolutely terrified that, you know, that he could, you know, see even greater groundswell than what he saw in 2020,
right?
And prevail. And so it's interesting because the very DA that is prosecuting him in Georgia, she has made any number of wild election claims just as recently as 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all documented right there in her social media. And
right.
so the very things that she accuses Donald Trump of, she has done.
She done.
And so, you know, that surely is going to, you know, be brought up in court in front of the judge. You know, this all really boils down to, in my opinion, whether or not, you know, they're able to get a fair hearing in front of a judge. And
mm-hmm.
you know what we've seen so far, especially with the January 6th episodes,
right,
is that the judges are appointed by, you know, Democrat presidents and or you know confirmed by, you know, Democrat held Senate, and they come in on a party line vote, and they're absolute believers.
Yeah,
well, they're in lockstep with the Democrat, the DNC narrative, and
right.
and even worse, they rule in support of that, right? So whatever it is, whether it's January 6th political prisoners now held 2.5 years, you know, in violation of the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
with no trial, with no fair jury in front of their peers, no right to legal defense. I mean, they won't even let them see their lawyers. Okay, so, you know, it's amazing to me when you look at the physical conditions that the January 6th prisoners are being held in.
Right.
They're political prisoners, right?
Yeah.
But they're all being held in D.C. jails, you know, within a blue, you know, law enforcement shroud, within a blue judge, you know, halo.
Right.
And you know, they're not receiving their, you know, their guaranteed due process under the Constitution. It is an absolute criminal enterprise. And when you look at what they're doing to Donald Trump in Georgia, it's that and worse. So let's go back and talk about legitimacy. The same exact things that they have accused Donald Trump of.
Right.
Al Gore in 2000 did exactly the same when he contested Florida and other polling nationwide,
right.
And worse. Al Gore actually did worse. And if you also count in Al Gore's party with the Maria Sa, Bill Clinton, Chinese Communist
mm-hmm.
Party corruption probe,
right.
in 96-97, where the CCP gave millions of dollars to Bill Clinton's
mm-hmm.
reelection campaign in 96, when you go back and you include Al Gore's complicit behavior in that, it's even worse. Okay, so here we are 20 years later, 22 years later, and they're accusing Donald Trump of questioning an election, which is his right, by the way. Okay, there are provisions within election law that allow
right.
the election to be contested, and yet they're trying to prosecute him in a criminal prosecution.
Well, I mean, look at what Hillary Clinton did after 2016. I mean, not only did she contest it, she basically said he was not the, you know, it wasn't legitimate, not a legitimate win. And then when she turned the country upside down with the whole Russia hoax business, that itself, you know, created the kinds of, you know, disunity over what she did. And then on top of that, this whole question of what she got away with in terms of classified documents in her 30,000 of them, the bleach bit, the whole bit, and then for Comey to say, well, no prosecutor would prosecute her for this. I mean, that's part of what I want to get to in our next segment here, when we're talking about the big picture of using the law against, you know, your political opponents.
That's right.
But I think you're absolutely right along these lines. But for everyone's recollection, too, not only Hillary Clinton, but homegrown Stacey Abrams. I mean, she went on TV saying, I'm really the governor. Never conceded, blah, blah, blah.
Right. You didn't see the marshal show up and put her in handcuffs.
So, right. All right. So there is this question not only of the legitimacy, but also the fairness of it. I mean, how do you have a fair system that easily lets go what we just said, Gore, Clinton, Stacey Abrams, but for Trump, oh no, different standard.
Well, no. So I would yet again take the gloves off and just speak to the brutal reality, which is the Democrats made up their mind up a long time ago that they will never play fair, and they don't. And that is absolutely page and playbook out of the Chinese Communist Party and other communist movements worldwide. You know, they don't play fair. That's how they win or prevail in right. certain smaller campaigns, you know, and how they're able to take over entire countries and rule them, you know. 98 million party members in the Chinese Communist Party, and yet they're able to hold sway over 1.4 billion Chinese. How is that possible?
Right.
And so what I would encourage our listeners to really ponder and think about is that, you know, don't think that a loud, noisy minority, okay, and the Democrats clearly are the loud, noisy minority. They do not hold sway in this country as far as the seed of the earth here, right? It is absolutely the traditionalists and the constitutionalists and the conservatives, you know, and we, you have to understand that, you know, we have got to get to a point where we, one, fully recognize that they are playing, you know, hardball,
right?
And take the gloves off and play hardball back, and you know, and also stop letting the Uniparty, including our own establishment GOP and others, continue to fragment, you know, the broad based conservative movement in this country, because we far outnumber, you know, the noisy right. minority. Okay, and I mean, if you want to get in, you know, so let's touch on one of your other points here, you know, in the Wednesday GOP debate on Fox. Fox News reported 12.8 million viewers for the GOP.
Right.
You know, debate absent President Trump, and Tucker Carlson on X generated. And I have three different sources here. So, according to Trending Politics, 212 million impressions by close of business Thursday. Matt Taibbi, who I definitely trust as an independent reporter, 184 million impressions by close of business, well, morning of Thursday morning. And then Jim Hoft at Gateway Pundit reporting over 230 million impressions on X and other sources, you know, who mirrored it, you know, mirrored the X debate or X interview, you know, so 230 million impressions, you know, just off of the Trump interview with Tucker Carlson. And what's interesting about this, folks, you know, to put it in complete context, when I went over to YouTube and I, you know, did the basic search, you know, for Tucker, you know, Tucker Trump right. interview, you know, the top 15 hits, it's very clear that YouTube and Google and others had been attempting to manipulate those numbers.
The algorithms are working. Not changed.
On all 15 of those hits, Lori, get a load of this, because I know you track these things, right? On all 15 of those top hits on YouTube, less than 200,000 views and less than 200,000 impressions on the top 15 hits that were returned for the X interview with Donald Trump on Wednesday on YouTube. That's what came back. And just completely, you know, when you look at in context, you know, when you look, for instance, at Oliver Anthony and Richmond, North of Richmond, you know, the right. song that has just absolutely exploded
yeah. right.
as a blue-collar anthem, you know, he has garnered nearly 40 million impressions just in 2 weeks
on YouTube. Oh wow.
Okay. And right. and we see these other independently reported numbers on Trump and X right. you know, at 230 million. I think that's probably a little closer
wow.
you know than the mere 200,000 or less, you know, per, you know, NBC and MSNBC, you know, video clips on YouTube. So very interesting, you know, where we continue to see that level of right. censorship. So
well, I mean, since we're into the debate, Before we get into a little bit more on the debate, I do want to say, though, that the legitimacy issue with the Georgia election, I mean, and the problems associated with it, whether it was starting with Stacey Abrams and the consent decree, which allowed mail-in ballots, Lori, listen to this now, mail-in ballots that were not going to be checked against the registration rolls. Now, I mean, what are you supposed to do with something like that if you are, you know, Trump? You're just supposed to say, well, it's okay, it didn't matter. No, it matters. And then the other thing that really did make a difference is this whole question about where in the world all of these ballot harvesting questions that we saw in, you know, 2,000 mules, how does all that factor into the fraud that was evident in other places too that we saw with pictures here and there? But the reality is, I would argue that there were significant problems with what happened in Georgia. And so are they going to come after us for talking about it too?
No, well, I mean, and that's the whole point, is that if they would come after President Trump and arrest him and his legal advisors. I mean, these are lawyers that right. you know, high profile,
using RICO, the RICO law,
right? RICO laws, which, you know, it's like, you've got to be kidding me, right? And so, it's you know, it's clear that there was no conspiracy, you know, none at all. And again, all we have to do is look at precedent with Al Gore in 2000 and others since. Okay, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, which how ironic,
I mean,
you know,
exactly
how ironic, right? And so clearly. Illegitimate and should not receive time in front of the court. I mean, it should take mere seconds for a judge to dismiss that case with prejudice, right? It should, but you know, it'll grow legs, you know. And when you look at the timing, it's just no question about it. You know, the way that all of these are timed strategically to interfere with Trump's eligibility to stand in the primaries in the spring, you know, late winter and spring. And
yeah, she wants this thing done in 2 months.
That's right. Well, what they want is a conviction so that they can say. I mean, it's not enough that they fraudulently impeached him and then. And, you know,
right.
So not just enough that they fraudulently impeached him, which was then shown to be illegitimate, you know, in a complete scam. But no repercussions on the Democrats on that. Go ahead, Lori, what you got?
I was just going to say, I researched because my theory was, if they convict him of a felony, he can't run for president. He can. There is no rule that says a president cannot be convicted of a
felony. I've heard that. I haven't really gone into any detail on it because I researched it because
I was concerned. Mm-hmm. And the rules for being a president don't mention criminal history.
Yeah. Well, I'm of the opinion that it's going to take, you know, if you sit around. So let's go back and talk about real quick. Just I want to touch quickly to remind folks about how this demon of election irregularities came up. So 2020 wasn't the first time, but what COVID did, and you look back at 3 years ago this month, what was going on, and it started in late July of 20, and then it really picked up speed in August and September, where because of COVID, Lori, you know, they came up with the, you know, these
election laws were thrown out.
Election laws were thrown out and without the imprimatur of the legislature. So
exactly.
In violation of election law. Okay, so they use this state government by exception, okay, is the term, okay, government by exception, due to a health crisis to, you know, supplement or augment state law without imprimatur of the state legislature. In most cases, the legislature, in some cases, they weren't even informed. Okay.
Classic example is Pennsylvania.
Yeah. In some cases, they weren't even informed, or in others, they might have had a chance to comment on it, but the secretaries of state or the lieutenant general or the lieutenant governor, you know, depending on who had had the final stamp on it, just rubber stamped these changes in election law, and bam, off and running they went. And that right there is the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they want to talk about voter ID and you know, and you can look at 2,000 mules and clearly Zuckerbucks, 430 million nearly Zuckerbucks, you know, just flooding into augment state secretaries of states, you know, offices world, you know, or nationwide, you know, that's a lot of money to fund an awful lot of people who are left leaning, including operatives in operating in heavily Republican districts.
But they don't even need that extra money. I mean, all they needed to do, like in Georgia, and this is what the part of the indictment talks about, you know, trying to influence Raffensperger. He only asked Raffensperger to find, what, 11,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ended up meaning was, if you compare the registration rolls with the ballots that were turned in, whether they were harvested or not, you're going to find that that number of votes you need. In Pennsylvania, it's even worse because, like you said, these changes that were made,
mm-hmm.
one of them was an extension of the time that you could turn your ballot in.
That's
instead
right.
of turning it in on the day of the
right,
race.
You got 30 days.
You got all this time.
Right.
Supreme Court Judge Alito told the Pennsylvania people, hold those, it was about 100,000 ballots, hold them. Do not integrate them into the count.
Right.
And they did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for us sitting back watching all this stuff, I mean, you have to conclude something was rotten in Denmark, okay?
Right. Well, the irregularities on election night were truly exceptional,
exactly.
right? I mean, let's go there for just 1 second, right,
yeah,
if we can.
I do want to go there.
So in Georgia, let's talk about what happened in Fulton County, Georgia, on election night.
Your home state.
Yeah, home state. Trump ahead. Trump ahead at 10 o'clock at night, okay, and they, all of a sudden there's a water breakage at the Fulton County, you know, voters, you know, collection location where they're collecting ballots and counting them, right? And I think it was the Civic Center, and there was a water main breakage or a leak, and so they were going to shut down ballot counting until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
In a state that was going to be, yeah. Here's the thing. I think Trump won Georgia handily, right? I really do.
Yeah.
And I think that that he probably won there by, you know, by some hundreds of thousands of votes, maybe more. But when you look at what they did in Fulton County, all they were doing was buying time. And what mm-hmm. we saw in 2000 Mules is that model that the DNC ran, which was. They waited until the wee hours of the morning, and then they trucked in the number of
right.
ballots that they thought they would need.
Right.
Right. And I mean, you've got it right there on tape, right there on tape in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
right, where, you know, you had a van full of what looked like it was a couple of 100,000 ballots brought in at about 3 or 4 in the morning, and they video the whole sequence, you know, with the hidden camera, and it's very clear that the call went out. Hey, we need X number of ballots, and,
right.
and here comes the truck with X number of ballots, right? But what happened in Georgia with the water main break, that happened in 7 other states. Unprecedented.
Really?
Water main break?
Not just water
something.
Main breaks. I'm
some
talking about
issue.
It was some issue that caused them to pause the count until the next day.
Oh, wow.
And then all that did, and we, you know, it's like, you know, the fix is in, right? I mean, the fix is in. That's exactly what they did. And so, you know, it wasn't just that they changed election law under the auspices of,
right.
of you know, COVID, but then they also,
doubled down
declared
sure.
time out right in the middle of the count, right?
Yeah, that was like 3 o'clock in
right.
the morning.
Well, and then look at, if you remember the other videos that came out, I mean, this is what is maddening about it, right, is that we have video of these people doing this. We have video in Georgia of them shutting down the count, ushering out the poll watchers,
right.
and then pulling ballot cases out from under the table in the area. They already had them staged inside the area. You know, you see this. It's on video. Why aren't those people, you know, in front
jail.
Of a federal judge? You know,
exactly.
why aren't they in front of a federal judge, and why haven't they been marched out in front of the evening news?
And why is Trump instead of them?
Right. And
well,
so,
you see, this is what's
yeah.
so crazy about all this. But it was what's even crazier, they're getting away with it.
Right. And so, look, people are sensitive to this, what I'm about to say, but it needs to be said, is, you know, Americans are well known for our patience and long-suffering, you know, wisdom, you might say. We're not easily incited, you know, but you have to understand that at some point you've got to stand up and get in the street. You know, you have to. And in this case, you know, when you look at the candidate who by every right should still be sitting in the Oval Office, okay, and, you know, you must realize that if you want your candidate to carry the day, you've got to stand up and be counted. And if that means, you know, calling every elected representative in your state and then your national delegation, well, yeah, start there. Okay, if it means that you've got to protest in the street, you know, in numbers, you know, that's our right. That is our constitutional right. Okay, now, others aren't going to want to hear that, okay, including no small number of people in the Republican Party. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, they don't represent us. You know, they're part of the Uniparty. They're the biggest part of the problem. I mean, including right here in Baldwin County. You want me to name names? Let's name names. Okay? Baldwin GOP. All right? They are part of the problem. They are not the solution. They don't have any answers for us. They are in it for themselves. And the blue collar workers and the people who work hard every single day just to get by.
Run.
That's right, and make the country run. You had better stand up. You'd better wake up, and you'd better get out in the street. Okay, that's my message to our listeners.
Well.